Good to see all of you tonight. Thank you for being here. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We've been in the book of Psalm 119 for about 6 or 7 Wednesday nights. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. We can't deal all of it with on one Wednesday night. But 176 is 16 times 11. Psalm 119 deals, every verse talks about the one thing that our final authority for all matters of faith and practice is, and that is the Bible. Not just any Bible, but a holy Bible. 176 verses, Psalm 119, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 sections in Psalm 119, 22 sections, all of them, 8 verses each in 22 sections. And all of them start with that, like the first 8 verses starts with the first Hebrew letter, Aleph. And the next, starting with verse 9, Bet. And Gimel, Daleth, and Hey, and Vav. And then tonight, verse 49, Zayin. And this matches up, this Hebrew. Now some of you, how many of you in your Bible, if you've got an old Scofield, you've got those little letters, Hebrew letters, right above the little section there. Several of you do. And these Hebrew letters are not only for the Hebrew alphabet, they're also for the numbering system. So this one, Zayin, would be our equivalent to number 7. 7 in the Bible is God's perfect, complete number. Amen. And so there's one thing that we have in our lap is complete. I believe it's complete. There's no other prophecy that needs to be revealed. There's no other anything, any more enlightenment, any word of knowledge that needs to be gotten. If there are, when you hear somebody on television say, well, I got a word of knowledge, well, tell them to turn to Revelation 23 and start writing Revelation 23. If not, put your pen and paper up and hush. God has spoke what He wanted us to have. 66 books, and they're all complete. And He in Psalm 119, verse number 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless your word. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. These 9 verses, all of the different sections have dealt with a certain application of the Word of God, the Bible. This particular section of 9 or 8 verses is building our hope upon the Word of God. The old song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. What is your building? What is your hope? Not that a matter of, I hope something's going to happen. It's not that. This hope is a foundational hope, a hope that we have the home in heaven. That's for sure. I know for sure because the Bible is our foundation. It's our final authority of all matters of faith and practice. But here we have not only, I forgot to tell you this part a while ago, but this Hebrew letter is the number 7. Also, that Hebrew letter means weapon. If Zayin, this Hebrew letter, is number 7, and it means seven, and it means weapon, then we have a complete weapon. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. But we do have a complete weapon. You say, oh, we should never use... Hey, Jesus told his disciples, I tell you what y'all better do. You better buy a sword. You better get you a two-edged sword, because Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divided asunder soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, yeah, you better get you a sword. Don't get you one of them little pocket knives. Get you a sword if you're going to carry one around. We got pocket knives. They got little... I'm telling you, you get you a sword, amen. A complete sword, a complete weapon. Well, look here in the first verse. The psalmist said, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. He said, the psalmist David says, Lord, I need you to remember your word. I need you to remember what you said. Now, don't take that the wrong way. He's not trying to remind the Lord what he wrote. It's like entering into a contract and you shake hands and you make an agreement, and later on said, remember what you promised. Don't forget what you promised. Oh, I hadn't forgot. Lord, don't forget what you promised in this word. Lord, I'm standing right here. Don't forget what you wrote in this word. Remember the word unto thy servant. The psalmist is reminding God of his promise. Not that God needs reminded, but God cannot lie. Therefore, what he has promised, he will perform. God's promises are his bond. If God promised it, it's going to come to pass. And then he says here, remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Hope has to do with the future. Hope has to do with something looking forward to something happen. Hope is in a person. Hope is in a book. Hope is looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other stronger foundation for our hope than the Word of God. There's where our promises come from. Every time you get a promise, there will be a problem that comes with that promise to see how bad you want the provision. Every time you read a promise in the Bible, God's going to throw a problem your way to see how bad you want the provision. You see, a rubber band is of no use unless it's stretched. A tea kettle sings its best when it's up to its neck in hot water. The only way God sometimes can get us from the promise to the problem to the provision is stretch us. And when we're stretched, we look to God and say, God, I want you to remember. I want you to remember what you promised me. Please remember your word. Hey, when we sin, we come down here. Lord, your word says, if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just. Forgive my sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what you're doing. You're not reminding the Lord like he forgot. You're just reconfirming. Hey, Lord, I'm standing on your promises. You make that word real, and he'll do it. His word has brought us life. With many people, the Bible is the last place they go when trouble comes. It ought to be the first place they turn. When they get sick, they rush to the doctor to find help. When they get sued, they go looking for a lawyer. When they get out of work, they go to the unemployment office. And that's all well and good, and God gives us common sense, and you ought to do those things. But before you walk out of that door, heading to the doctor, heading to the lawyer, heading to the unemployment office, you better get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm standing on the promises of this word. I'm standing on the promises. Remember what you promised. You said you'd never leave me or forsake me. Woo, I know it's Wednesday night. I know you worked all day, and I know you're tired. You may not have ate supper yet, but I'm eating real good right here. Just for a few minutes. Now, it'll hold me till I can get some physical food. Hallelujah. God cannot lie. Therefore, what he's promised, he will perform. Now, there is, I don't know if I give you the outline, but here in verse 49 is reminding God of his word. Number two. Look at verse 50. The resting in the Word of God. There's a reminding and then there's a resting. Look at verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. You remind God. God, remember what you promised in your word. And then after you remember, hey, there's a resting. Hey, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. I think the hymn book says something like this. It's on page number 9 of the All-American. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. That's what the psalmist is saying. I think whoever wrote this song knew a little something about Psalm 119. Because he said this in the fourth verse. He said, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my... Verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The songwriter says, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Amen. Circumstances change from day to day. Situations change from day to day. But the word of God will never change. It stands for sure. Affliction's going to come. And affliction ought to lead you to the Bible. It ought not lead you to the bookstore. It ought not lead you to the specialist. It ought not lead you to a pill in a bottle. It ought not lead you to the lawyer's office. It ought to lead you to a book, and that book is the Word of God. Amen. Well, that went over pretty good. Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction. Not from my affliction, but in my affliction. He may not always take you out of your affliction, but he will always bring you through your affliction. A bee gathers his best honey from the bitterest herbs. This is a whole lot gooder than what y'all are giving me back. Times when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, remember, for thy word hath quickened me. It has made me alive. It has kept me alive. How many times that word kept you alive? Not only did it save you, it keeps me alive. Amen. That's what he said. Now, you've got a reminding God of his word. You've got a resting in the word of God. And then verse 51 and 52, you have a ridiculing. Because of the word. Look here. This is what the psalmist says. Psalmist says, I'm trying to rest in the word, and guess what? The proud have had me greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Hey, how many times have y'all had to just comfort yourself? Nobody else will comfort you. You just have to comfort yourself. How are you going to get comforted? You better find you a verse in that Bible and stand on it. Rest in it. But there's going to be some ridicule. This derision means to laugh at, to mock, to scorn. Hey, that's going to happen to Christians. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked at. You're going to be scorned. Y'all are silly for believing that. Y'all are silly for going to church on a Wednesday night and sit up there and listen to some guy holler and scream for 30 minutes. Y'all are silly for doing that. But I'm telling you what, the psalmist David says, hey, the proud have had me in greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. You know, let me give you that in the Hebrew. Y'all ready for some little Hebrew? Let me give you this in a little Hebrew. Psalmist David says, I've had people laugh at me. I've had people mock me. I've had people scorn me. But I went home, took 2 baby aspirins, got my Bible out, and I'm still trusting in your word. Yeah, that's what it is in the Hebrew. You say, how you know? You don't know the difference. I don't either. There's going to be ridicule. Hey, people are often unreasonable, illogical, self-centered, but forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of being selfish. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat on you, but be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. To keep on building anyway. Amen. The good you do today, people will often forget about tomorrow, so keep on doing good anyway. Give the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the best you got anyway. Matthew 5:11 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Let me give you my analogy on this thing, if that's even a proper deal. Dogs bark at the moon, but it never affects the moon. Let me go over here to my Pentecostal side. Now, I thought of this afternoon in my office, and y'all not helping me. A dog barks at the moon, and it would be funny if the moon up there just said, "Ah," and it stopped shining. And that's the way some Christians do. The world starts barking at you, "Oh, I'm just going to quit shining." No, be like a moon. What's a moon? The moon reflects light off of the... I mean, I wish I was in a black church tonight. Y'all not helping me. Him black preacher said, "Touch your neighbor." And hallelujah. You be the moon and the dogs bark at you, you just keep shining. You just keep reflecting. Amen. That's what the psalmist is trying to say. Hey, there's going to be reminding God. God, remind you of your word, what you said. And then there's going to be a resting. I'm going to rest right there. After remind you, not that you don't need reminding, but I'm just going to remind you what you wrote, and then I'm going to rest in that, and then when ridicule comes, I'm just going to keep reflecting. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, look at here. Look at verse number 53. Then there's going to be some rejection. Verse 53, "Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law." This horror took hold of David. When the world makes fun of the Bible, all right, let me ask you a question. When the world makes fun of the Bible, when they ridicule the God of creation, and when they make fun of us, and when they turn around and call us the terrorists, we're the fundamental terrorists, we're the problems, we're causing all of this. It's not, the guys that run planes into the Twin Towers, and now we're cowering down to them. When they go against that Bible, does it make us mad, or we just sort of brush it off and, well, that's just the times we live in? No, this horror right here and what David says, that means to heat up in anger. He says, I get mad when people reject God's word. Now, sometimes we have the attitude, and a lot of times preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, there's people that walk out of these doors and they reject everything you say. And I'm not saying get mad in a way that you want to go grab them and take them behind the woodshed, you know, not that way. But get mad because the devil has blinded their minds. Get mad because the devil has caused them to reject God's word. Get mad at the evil. There is a right way to get mad. There is a righteous indignation. And David says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that have forsaken thy law. It grieved him, not because David was getting attacked. He didn't grieve him about that. It grieved David because they were rebuking God's word. He said, you can ridicule me all day long, but when you start talking about my Bible and my God, that's where David is, and that's the right attitude to have. But, oh, hey, that's, listen, there's always, verse 54. Look at verse 54. Even though reminding God that I'm going to rest in the word, and then there's going to be ridicule of the word, and there's going to be some rejection of the word. Verse 54, David says, but thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Even though there's ridicule and there's rejection, there's ridicule by the unsaved. There's rejection by the unsaved. But to the saved, there's rejoicing. Even though when they ridicule me and they reject the word, I can go home and sing. Job says he give us songs in the night. Y'all ain't never heard of the Muslim quartet, have you? Y'all ain't never heard of the Buddhist trio, do you? Why? They don't have anything to sing about. God's people have something to sing about. God's people can sing in the middle of the night. Paul and Silas sang in the middle of the night when they're in a Roman jail or a Philippian jail. They sang and praised God at midnight when everybody else would have been arguing and fussing. Paul says, they ridiculed us. They rejected the word. Silas, let's just sing something. So the psalmist David said, thy statutes, that Bible, the statutes, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. They sang these psalms. They sang them. That was their hymn book. They didn't have an all-American church hymnal. They had the psalms, 150 of them, and they put music to it. He says, thy statutes have been my songs in my pilgrimage. In pilgrimage. You know what that means? That means I'm just passing through down here. I'm passing through on my way to another country. And while I'm passing through here, I'm going to sing my way through here and encourage myself in the process. Well, y'all not helping me, so I'm going to have to give you an example. Moses over there led the children of Israel, and they come up on the Red Sea as a problem. God turned the problem into a pathway. They walked across on dry ground. They got to the other side. Everybody got to the other side. You won't believe this. Exodus 15, about verse 1, Moses says, let's sing something. Moses, why you want to sing something? Because we just come through some ridicule and some rejection, and I just feel like rejoicing. Hey, people make fun of it. Hey, just sing your way through it. We can sing in a strange land. This world's not my home. We just got through singing it a while ago. Gives us songs of hope. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Amen. Unto the Lord. Not contemporary songs, spiritual songs. Amen. You know, look, hey, I just feel, you know, look, anyway, I just feel like saying it. I ain't said it in a long time. I say it quite often. But look, when they write songs today, and them what they call them praise and worship. And if you like that, that's whatever, that's fine, whatever. But look, I can write praise and worship songs. All you got to have is like a sentence. And you just repeat it 10 times. That's easy to write. Hey, it takes, you got to be in the Bible to write, standing on the promises, I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. It takes a little thought. It takes a little God on you. to think of that. Well, anyway, maybe that helped you. And then verse 55, this is what he said. He said, I have remembered thy name, O Lord. There's a reminding God, there's a resting, then there's a ridicule, and then there's rejection, and then there's rejoicing because I'm singing, and then after I get done singing, I remember you, O Lord. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. You know what he said? It's what King David, or Psalmist David said. This is what he said. He said, I'm laying in my bed at night. And he said, a lot of people worry. A lot of people recant the whole day and they worry about everything they did, whether they did this or that, and they worry about everything. They worry about who, you know, if they, you know, made friends with the elite and the upper crust, and they worry about all of these things. And David says, I just lay in the bed and think about how good God's been before I go to bed. I've been ridiculed all day, been rejected, sung a little bit. And then when I get ready to go to bed, I don't worry about all that stuff. Lord, I just want to take just a minute before I go to sleep and let me and you talk a minute. Hey, write this down, remember this. Hey, when you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody ought to come, somebody ought to throw a songbook or something. How many of you ever heard when you can't sleep, count sheep? Forget that. Talk to the shepherd. Amen. Well, anyway, a regular prayer will keep you in tune with Him and with His Word. You better remember. Focus the intention on the Lord. And we can sleep peacefully when we've been obedient to the Word of God. Now, this last verse, he says this. This I had because I kept the prayer. This I had. All of these previous eight verses, all of this I had because I kept the precepts found in that Bible. You know what he found? This is what he said. This I had. I had comfort in the midst of trials when I remembered the Bible. I had power to overcome the ridicule of the unbelievers when I remembered His Word. I had rejoicing and singing when I remembered. And then I had peace at the end of the day when I remembered His Word. This, all of this I had because I kept thy precepts. This is our hope. This is our hope. This is our hope. Folks, if that Bible, if there's one lie in that Bible, and the only lies you'll find in that Bible is the ones that Satan told. Amen. He told a bunch of lies to Eve. There's not any mistakes in there. If there is, we're all men most miserable. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we're in trouble. If Jesus ain't coming back, we're in trouble. If John 3:16 is a lie, we're in trouble. So you say, preacher, where's your hope? Right there. You say, well, you've got to have some kind of educational authority to believe what you... I do. The Harvard and Yale. We're standing right here. This is better than Harvard and Yale, right here. God's way ahead of Harvard. He's way ahead of Yale. And amen. And if you believe that book, believe what he said, he'll take you to heaven one day. That's my hope. That's my hope. I'm standing on that. Amen. Say, preacher, why are we call ourselves Bible-believing? You know we don't have to call the Pope to find out what we believe about something. We don't have to call him to see and find out. We just, Lord, I need you to tell me what we believe about this. Oh, okay, thank you. I thought I was wondering about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, all right, I'm done. Y'all go to sleep now. Sure is good to be saved, isn't it? It sure is good to have hope in the Bible. Amen. Well, let's take time, have some prayer requests, and...